This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Peter Gammons, Hall of Famer, joins us on the CDW Hotline. CDW, making IT solutions work for you. Orchestration by CDW. CDW, people who get it. Good morning, Peter.
Morning, Peter.
Good morning.
Yo, we had a nice conversation with Theo yesterday. He wasn't in the best of moods, but he said, you know, baseball, you can be optimistic and yet frustrated at the same time, and he said he's pretty much right there with the team currently.
I can see that. It's a strange team in a lot of ways. I mean, the way they'll score like 10 runs and then they won't score more than one run to three runs for about 3 or 4 days. I look at it and say, okay, somewhere along the line here, there's a really good chance that in the second half, they're going to get a lot more out of, you're going to get Hap, Russell, Schwarber, Hayward, Rizzo, all hitting much better than they have. And meanwhile, two out of the three of Darvish, Quintana, Chatwood pitch well. I do not understand 40 walks and, 45 and two-thirds innings for Chatwood. I just don't get that, unless he's just a little bit nervous about pitching to contact in Wrigley Field.
You throw Jason Hayward in that group, and we all want to believe that because of the commitment the Cubs made to him and a lot of the optimism when he chose the Cubs over other teams and reportedly over more money. But it seems like this is who the guy is, at least offensively now, and the idea that you can debate the bunt with Baez the other night, but having Hayward at taking that at bat when you had Almora and other options on the bench, Zobrist, in a game situation, the game in the balance situation, a lot of Cub fans just, we have no faith, little faith in Jason Hayward delivering the big hit when need be.
It's the changes he makes, I keep thinking somewhere along the line he's going to find something, really get comfortable in his own skin and just go ahead. I mean, I'm not saying that he should be a 310 hitter with 38 home runs, but I mean, get on base 38-40% of the time and hit about 280 and hit about 20 home runs. And the way he plays defense and runs the bases, he's a terrific player. I just, there's something about his, I always think of it's self-esteem at the plate. And I don't get it. The way he changes his hands and so forth. He's had really good hitting coaches. I mean, they don't come much better than Chili Davis. So, I mean, I keep thinking he's still young. It will come together for him. But you're right. It hasn't. And if this is what he is, well, then you have to live with it and figure out how to go around it.
Peter, last Sunday, Yu Darvish had a 39-pitch first inning. And he came in the dugout. And something changed because then he came back out and started relying more on his fastball and blowing people away. And that was the Darvish that everyone has been waiting to see. How big of a start is it Sunday night, prime time, Giants in town, home game, first time the home fans have seen him in a while? How big of a moment will that be potentially for Yu Darvish?
I think it's a really good point because I think it is important. I mean, it's the lights are on. You've got national TV. It's a significant start for him. And I think that, where the Dodgers sort of felt that he shied away from those moments, it'll be very interesting. It'll be great watching on Sunday night because I think for a lot of us, there's just no way of knowing which direction he's going to go in. I know the Cubs still have a lot of confidence in him, but is he the type of guy who relishes those moments? I mean, we know how the Justin Verlanders of the world and the Max Scherzers walk out to the mound and moments like that and go, this is exactly what I live for. I'm not so sure you has quite the same approach. And I think it's self-esteem. And there are times when he pitches to me, as if he doesn't want to let people down. And you can't think that way. You have to be, has to be a little arrogance in you when you go to the mound. I mean, I always say that Verlander looks like he's walking down the red carpet when he walks out to the mound for the first inning. Because he just, you know, I want it. This is what I want. And I remember when he was making the transition in Detroit, before he got, long before he got to Houston, actually with Brad Ausmus, who had the greatest impact on him. And Brad say, you know, he'll make changes. He'll learn how to do all the analytics, prepare for games. Because the one thing that, that Justin Verlander hates most in the world is not being great. And I don't know if you could say the same thing about you. I mean, it's just we all love the guy, but it's there is that, that thing, and there's something wonderful about players who do absolutely detest not being great. It's what probably separates them from the rest of us.
He's Peter Gammons. You read him in The Athletic, of course. Watch him on MLB Network. And Peter, it'll sound like 2020, but you and I and Molly talked about this last year when Verlander was available in Detroit, and I advocated that, you know, it's cost certain. You know what the contract is. Because you're taking the money, it doesn't cost you a whole lot in premium in terms of assets. And, you know, he goes off to Houston, and my apologies to Dallas Keuchel, because I scoffed at the idea that they wouldn't have to go through any kind of hangover with the World Series like the Cubs did when he said, we're better than that, we're a great team. And guess what? They're better than that, they're a great team. But Verlander is unbelievable, and I guess the only one who's more surprising is maybe Charlie Morton. But, you know, with three or four guys there with sub-2 ERAs right now.
Well, there's no question that the combination of what they have in terms of pitching coach and support system, along with all the work that they do on scouting and analytics and breaking down pitchers and their approaches and basically, you know, the way they use their breaking balls. I mean, it clearly is very successful. I mean, I think a lot of people and good baseball people laughed at the whole Charlie Morton thing. And he's turned out, you know, to be an extraordinary pitcher. I mean, he is the only man in baseball history to start and win Game 7 of the League Championship Series and then relieve and win the seventh game of the World Series. So that's pretty good. And then he's been, I mean, I know his ERA went over 2 last night. That's shocking. But
get rid of bullpen. Put him in the bullpen.
He'll do anything. He is, by the way, one of the nicest people you could ever meet. But they did a great job recognizing what he could do and getting him to utilize it. And because I think Pittsburgh does a very good job with pitchers too, but the Astros do a great job, and they deserve a lot of credit for it. I think sometimes people who live and die just live in the morning for XWOBA. I think sometimes they get a little carried away with the Astros because this organization did not draft or sign originally Springer or Keuchel or Altuve. So there was a lot there before they got there, much more than, say, the Cubs had in front of them. But they've done a great job with those guys.
Peter, yesterday, Wellington Castillo was released a statement about his 80-game ban for taking PEDs, and Rick Hahn talked about, you know, the short term, not, you know, obviously being, it's not going to be affect the rebuild, and looking at the long-term view of it as well. I think he's probably right, but what's your opinion of, number one, the impact that will have on the White Sox organization, and number two, just what you think about a guy who actually acknowledges in his statement the fact that he actually did what he's accused of doing?
I thought that was good. Because none of us are going to listen to somebody say, you know, somebody slipped a Mickey in my drink, you know. I mean, it's just we're past that at this point. I do think, though, that one thing that bothers me is that agents do a lot of talking when they've got players on the free agent market, and they do a lot of talking for excuses at times for their players, and they like to be seated at the table when there's a press conference for a player. But when it comes to testing positive, I think that the commissioner's office and the Players Association should ensure that in the stories covering the drug suspensions, that it'd be player, comma, represented by such and such agency. Because I do believe that it's up to, you know, this guy says, well, I didn't know what was it. Well, the agent should know what their clients are taking. And they do get, you know, 4 to 5% of the money that's brought in, of the salaries. And I think they should take more responsibility in the players off the field. And I think it's a huge hole in baseball. And I the teams can't monitor it in the offseason. Agents can. And I think the agents should be accountable for when their clients test positive and do certain things to hurt teams and hurt the game.
Now, Wellington's going to get docked the 80 games pay. We don't understand that, but he signed a two-year contract for $15 million guaranteed, more money than he's made in his career to this point. And so, you know, that the crime does pay eventually and ultimately. Do the White Sox bring him back because he was supposed to help lead a young group of White Sox pitchers in particular and mentor them as they move along in terms of their development? Or do you just say, you know what, he made a mistake, he admitted it, and he's still of some value here?
I think you count on him sort of trying to make up for it. I think you count on him coming back and being contrite. How good he really is with pitchers, we'll see. But at the same time, you know, I think you have to bring him back, the money. But also, you know, you take that chance. If you wanted him to help the young pitchers, if he legitimately makes every effort to restore his reputation, well, then fine. You've got a decent player. So, I mean, I would bring him back and see what happens. I think it would be so foolish to just say, oh, no, we're not going to bother. And we're just going to pay him for next year. I think that's also a problem. I think there should be, I don't know if the Players Association will ever go for it, but I
never do
think that one can argue that there should be some sort of way that teams and players could say that between the two of them, you know, we buy you out at 20% of your second year remaining part of your contract,
or just walk away. I mean, you should just avoid the contract.
Has to be a deterrent.
Yeah.
And I think it would be it. And I think again, I think it would cause agents to be far more accountable and get involved with their clients in the off season.
Peter, great point. Always enjoy the conversation. We'll be watching on the MLB Network and reading in the Atlantic. Have a great holiday week, and we'll talk next week.
Thanks, Peter.
You too. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Peter Gammon, so he'll be in town also for the Hot Stove Cool Music event that Theo and the Foundation to be named later.org organization will be putting together in the first week of June. And don't forget, come to Swap-A-Rama for bargains, for food, for fun. Three great locations: Melrose Park, Alsop, right here in the city at 42nd and Ashland. Visit Swap-A-Rama's website for market info. Find out how to become a Swap-A-Rama vendor. Go to swap-o-rama.com. Swap-A-Rama, it's the first name in flea markets. You got Mully and Haley on the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.